Friday, May 29th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report, the last commodity livestock producer, part 2. A couple of local postmasters ago had you addressed a letter to pig farmer Royal Iowa. My late father-in-law would have gotten it delivered to his mailbox. He produced both hogs and cattle. The hogs were produced through a twice-per-year pasture farrowing system, followed by finishing in traditional hog houses that were also cattle sheds. There was a lot of labor and a lot of skill in this type of production. Farmers used to raise hogs using sweat equity. I remember being at a farm sale, overhearing someone spout that the corporates would never take over the hog industry because it was too much work. Producing hogs is work, but technology reduced it to a level where it is manageable. In our operation, we fed upwards of 3,000 head of hogs at one time in traditional barns using bedding, hogs in straw, where our technology came in the form of a skid loader. The foodies would have loved us. At some point, producers had to decide whether they were going to make the capital investments in hog confinement buildings. Once you made that investment, you were in for good. We built one which we've since buried. We made the choice to leave hog production in lieu of feeding cattle. I've never regretted that choice. Individually, I've retired from cattle feeding, but the family operation that my crop operation is integrated into is still centered on cattle feeding. Ironically, investment was made in confinement facilities with both bedded barns and a new pit confinement building, supplemented by some standard cement lots. Bedding is still part of the system. The manure is valuable growing corn. The primary difference between the cattle and hog industry concentration is that the corporates did not have a way to concentrate ownership of the cows as they did sows. There are no new cow units going up, supported by integrators, or that industry would be captured as well. The industry is highly capital intensive, and packers have balked at tying up so much money in production. They proved that they did not need to own cattle to make $1,500 a head. Beef packers have tried cattle feeding, but it never took off like packers owning hogs did. They secured their supply of cattle through contracts and formulas, which require commitments from feedlots to access. The cattle market was discovered through negotiated sales. The larger the number of negotiated sales, the better for price discovery. Feedlots, rather than packers, decide how many cash cattle trade. The number has shrunk for a number of reasons. Packers use contract cattle against the market, but feedlots allow them to do that. The late Bob Peterson, then IBP president, once testified in open court that contracts and formulas hurt feedlots and their market for cash cattle. Now, he did not understand why feedlots consented to the practice. He said that the reason that IBP did it was because their competitors operated that way, and they had to as well in order to remain competitive. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. Packers have played games with price reporting as it is used for contracts and formulas. A small number of cattle being traded determines the price for the rest. There was a reason why packers would buy cattle late on Friday after USDA market reporters went home. They want to keep trade a secret. They see it as proprietary information. There is legislation that was recently introduced that would require packers to buy up to half of their cattle on the open market. That comes a few years too late, if by some miracle it is a chance of becoming law. Remember that Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue comes from a poultry integrated state and golfs with the integrators. He's not neutral and would not be on our side. The broiler industry is far more concentrated than cattle or hog industries. Feedlots collude with packers, giving them control of inventory that they use then to depress cash cattle markets. It makes a big difference whether packers have to buy a lot of cattle or just a few each week. These feedlots do not value negotiated sales enough to want to do it themselves. Many cattle being fed are not owned by the feedlots, but by customers, so packers do not have a financial interest in those cattle. They would like someone else to trade cattle so they can get the advantage of a competitive market, while their lack of participation undermines that happening. Some of the formulas for pricing cattle based on negotiated sales went out the window, disrupted by this COVID-19 crisis, as there was inadequate cash trade. Recent cattle prices have been a number arbitrarily picked by packers. Feedlots have no leverage, as numbers on feed have far exceeded kill capacity. Feedlots could have put the hammer to the cash market and have not done so for fully selfish reasons. The system is working for them, and were they to fully exploit it, they would have brought the wrath of regulation down upon them. They have been threatened by regulation many times and have learned how to evade it. I have no idea why this time would be different. There is still a fighting chance in the beef industry as a commodity producer. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.